Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dubcast with Dubside, the podcast where we talk about the art of Greenland-style kayaking. I'm Andrew Lazaga, and I'll be your host for this special episode, where I'll be talking with Greenland-style sea kayak instructor Mike Jackson of Victoria, British Columbia. Mike is one of the founders of the South Island Sea Kayak Association, also known as SISCA, and a retired professional educator who has traveled all over the world, including Greenland and to Antarctica, where he served as a professional naturalist on the National Geographic Explorer. Welcome, Mike, and thanks so much for agreeing to be on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I think you and I first met at George Grandseth's Greenland Week.
That's right.
And the last time we met was at Gerhard Raven's Patek Camp on Quadra Island years ago.
Yep, it's been a while.
Yeah, good to see you again.
Likewise.
So you just came back from a trip to New Zealand. What were you up to down there?
Well, I was just traveling around with my wife and exploring the island, and it's an amazing place. It's beautiful, lots of different wildlife and amazing scenery. And I even managed to get a couple of paddles in.
All right. How was the kayaking down there?
Well, kayaking is spectacular. It's got really nice coast for kayaking. I would go back there in a heartbeat with a kayak of my own and try and do almost a kayaking only trip there.
Well, it's hard to beat where you're at on Vancouver Island with all the pristine wilderness and remote beaches and amazing wildlife.
Yeah, Vancouver Island's pretty spectacular for paddling.
You've been circumnavigating Vancouver Island for a while in several different trips.
Yeah, I started, that was 2006 or so, I think. A couple of buddies and I started to paddle some of the west coast of Vancouver Island. And then we kind of thought, well, let's do another section and then let's do another section. And we kind of just kept on going until now we've done everything from Port Hardy all the way around clockwise to Campbell River. So I've got Campbell River to Port Hardy to finish off, which might take me, you know, 4 or 5 days when I get the urge to do that.
Is it better to go clockwise or anti-clockwise, or does it make a difference?
I don't think it generally makes much difference. Going from Campbell River to Port Hardy, I haven't decided which way to do that yet. I might do it north-south or I might do it south-north, depending on what the currents and the weather is doing at the time.
Do you usually go with other people or do you sometimes go alone?
No, I've done all the sections with at least one other person. A couple of times as many as three others. So,
what do you think were the most challenging parts of going around the island so far?
I mean, there were challenging spots, you know, Cape Scott, the Brooks Peninsula, those kinds of things. But I think the most challenging part is judging when to not go. Hmm. And so you're listening to the weather forecasts and saying, nope, I think we'll stay on the beach. And so, especially on the West Coast, we usually plan on, when we're planning a trip, we expect one day and three to be a beach day. But that kind of averages out over a 9-day trip that you've got, you know, 3 days that you're not paddling, but those might be three consecutive days. On one trip, they were the first 3 days, then the rest of the trip was go.
Okay.
It's very weather dependent. And if you wait for the weather, you can paddle in fantastic conditions and cover a lot of ground.
Have any advice about dealing with wild animals and that environment?
Not really. I mean, we always carry bear spray when we're paddling and, you know, in camp. And we have seen bears near us, near the camp. I remember we had wolves walk overnight between my tent and my friend's tent. So we were only like 10 feet apart.
Oh, wow. But
a pack of wolves had walked right between us, but they just kept on going. So, and there's definitely wildlife out there, but by and large, I don't think, I mean, possibly with the exception of cougars, they're not keen to bother you.
Mm-hmm. Once I went camping just outside of Telegraph Cove, decided that I would camp on this small island, thinking that, okay, bears are not going to go on this island, right? It's just a you know, I'll be safe from bears. And at the end of the week, I managed to get myself on one of the bear tours out of Telegraph Cove. They take a boat up to Knight Inlet. But I was talking with a guide and he said, well, you know, there was a juvenile male grizzly that was living on this little island, Flower Island, just south of Swanson Island there in the Broughton Archipelago. I mean, that was exactly where I was there was staying. So staying on little islands doesn't guarantee anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that area around Telegraph Cove is probably where most of the Vancouver Island grizzlies turn up.
Oh, wow. Okay. How did you first get into sea kayaking?
I think I first got into sea kayaking well over 30 years ago when I first came to Victoria, and I was kind of looking for an outdoor activity to do. I was used to hiking in Alberta, and sea kayaking seemed like a natural fit. And so I bought a sea kayak, and that's how it got started. And over the years, I became a very avid kayaker, and I've been kayaking, I guess, now for 30-something years, and I love it. For many years, I was trying to get 100 paddles in a year. The last couple of years with my expedition work, it's been down to about 50 paddles a year. And for the last, 15, 16 years, I've blogged every single one of my paddles, which is kind of fun.
Wow. That's great.
Just keep a GPS track and make a few notes about each paddle.
Mm-hmm.
You realize it adds up pretty quickly. And so I got started with sea kayaking just because it seemed like the right thing to do in Victoria. And Victoria is surrounded on, three sides by water. We have every kind of sea kayaking condition available, from super, super gentle to quite epic. You know, even nearby where I live, we've got, you know, absolute flat water sometimes, and then, you know, big, big waves and currents in Baines Channel, which can be pretty spectacular. It was actually on one of the student trips that I was leading that I was first given a Greenland paddle to try by one of the guides, and he lent me his paddle for the day. And it was the first time I'd done a, you know, full day long expedition paddle and not felt any soreness or tiredness. And so basically right after that, I had a kayak paddle made. And that was the beginning of going down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Okay. How long had you been sea kayaking before you got into Greenland style?
Probably best part of 15 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
10 or 15 years, yeah. I've taken Paddle Canada courses up to level 4, and I've become a Paddle Canada instructor and a BC sea kayak guide. I'm definitely not like a top kayaker, but I'm a pretty experienced kayaker. And I think just the comfort I have with a Greenland paddle encouraged me to paddle more and more. But it was really the paddle that got me into the whole Greenland style thing. And then from that, I guess at one point I was learning to roll, and I found that, you know, a Greenland paddle helped that even more. And so I got into Greenland style rolling, and then discovered that it was more than just a single, you know, a single recovery stroke. There were 35 different rolling maneuvers, and then started getting interested in the, you know, the Greenland rolling competition. And the first Greenland competition at Lake Sammamish was 2010, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
And then it was either 2009 or 2010. But before that, I had already been a pretty keen kayak roller and Greenland aficionado, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember what year it was that I built a Disco Bay style kayak with Brian Schultz in Oregon. I went down to his one of his courses, and this would have been probably 15 to 20 years ago now. I built a Disco Bay 1933 replica, and I also built one of his F1s.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both a lot of fun and cool little boats.
What were you paddling before you made those skin-on-frame boats?
That's a good question. I think the main boats that I was paddling back then would have been, I had a Current Design Scirocco, which is a great kind of multi-purpose boat. And I also had a Nigel Foster Shadow, which is another kind of good multi-purpose boat. But I think it was around about then that I started having a fleet of kayaks for multiple different purposes. You know, I've got an expedition kayak, I've got a kayak for rock gardening, a kayak for rolling, kayak for everyday paddling, which happens to be a Greenland style kayak, and so on and so forth, kayaks for traveling. So I do have a few kayaks.
So you say your kayak for everyday paddle is a Greenland style.
Yeah, so I've got two Tahes now. I have the LC, which is a fantastic rolling kayak, and that's the one that I took to the competitions. But I also have the Tahe Greenland T, which is the larger keyhole cockpit one, and it's just a great everyday paddle. I just really like how it performs, and it's my boat of choice for everyday paddling.
Hmm. What kayak do you usually use for trips around Vancouver Island for your camping trips?
The trips around the island, I primarily have used a Current Designs Expedition, which is, I think, a 19-foot big, lots of room for gear and food and supplies. So it's not my everyday favorite boat, but it's really good for expeditions.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide that you were going to learn all the competition rules and get into the competitive rolling?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. It just happened. I'd have to think back to, you know, when I first started trying a bunch of different Greenland style rolls. I'm trying to remember the sequence of when we had Helen Wilson and Dubside come to Victoria, and whether that was before or after the Lake Sammamish competitions.
So when George Gronseth decided to put on the Greenland Week competitions, Dubside was there and Malagiac was there. The idea was that it would attract a lot of local paddlers and finally give them a venue to compete in. You know, you couldn't go to Greenland. Well, we're gonna do the same thing here, you know, as much as possible with mm-hmm. the proper scoring and the roles called out in Greenlandic. How did you decide that you were going to compete in that? Had you already practiced a lot of the roles? And
I think I practiced quite a few of them, and I'm trying to think of how. I don't even remember how I found out about the competition, but it seemed like a really cool thing to do, and so I thought, okay, I'll sign up for that, and that inspired me to practice more, and I think I spent quite a bit of the summer before that working on the skills. Yeah, I have a feeling that I might have had Dubside come to Victoria before the Greenland Week, because I'm pretty sure we went, I went to Styx a few times as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that the paddle started me off, and then the rolling seemed like a natural follow-on for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, I wanted to build a kayak and just kind of learn more about it. And then once I realized that there were all these other roles that you could do, that inspired me to learn more roles. And I think I became quite passionate about, you know, Greenland paddling in Victoria, and introduced a lot of people to the Greenland paddle in Victoria. It's kind of encouraging when I look around and I see quite a few people who use a Greenland paddle still in town. So
when you started to introduce it to other paddlers, what was the reception like for that?
I think that, you know, 25 years ago, people thought the Greenland stick was a weird thing, and it was very inefficient, or, you know, how could a little skinny stick work? And it wasn't until people tried it and realized that, oh my gosh, they can actually travel just as well with a Greenland paddle as they can with a Euro paddle, and maybe with less effort. I think it's one of those things that until you try it, you don't know how good it is. But a lot of people kind of look at it and think, God, there's no way that thing could really work.
Well, one problem is that it's difficult to get a good Greenland paddle. You usually have to have it made.
Yeah, I had one made that was really good. And I think when I first tried one, I tried a really good one. And I got one that was made by the same person that made the one I tried. And that was a wooden one. And then probably like 2006 or so, I went and bought a Superior paddle. I still have that, and it's the paddle I use most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's light, it's strong, it's durable, and I found that it was the right size and fit for me. And then for a while, it was a period, again, about 10 or 15 years ago, I imported a few Tahei kayaks to Victoria. I think I imported eight of the kayaks to Victoria. And so there's a half dozen kayaks in Victoria that are a result of my imports. And I also was importing, do you remember the Northern Light paddles?
Yes.
So I imported a bunch of his paddles and was selling those for a while. Then one thing and another, I realized I didn't really have the time or the interest in being in the business, so to speak.
Oh, wow. So you were a dealer.
I was a kayak dealer, yes. So I was pushing kayaks around town. Uh-huh. So, do you know of Joe O'Blenis?
Yeah, for O'Blenis Paddles. Yep.
Yeah, so he's a paddle maker, but he also, I kind of met him through kayaking around Vancouver Island. He was into that, and he makes nice wooden paddles.
He's not the one who made your first paddle, though.
No, a guy called Terry Esselstein, and he stopped making them, unfortunately, soon after that. Yeah, the paddles I use almost exclusively now are all carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm. I also have a Superior Kayaks paddle. Now it's like 17 years old, but it has been my favorite paddle for that whole time. And it's still...
It just feels right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's held up after all these years. No cracks or leaks or anything.
No, I had my tips fixed a little bit.
Okay.
A friend of mine kind of put some hardener and stuff on the tips, and that's the only thing that's happened to that paddle for, yeah.
Did it get a hole in it on the tips or just a little worn out?
I think it was just getting chipped, and yeah. I paddle a lot, and it's, you know, for probably 10, 12 years or so, I was doing over 100 paddles and over 1,000 kilometers of paddling, and puts a fair bit of wear and tear.
Yeah, yeah, that's impressive.
But I know that a wooden paddle would definitely show that much, much more quickly. Okay.
Back to doing competition rolls. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to learn all those rolls and practice them?
Oh, gosh. I would say once you've made a start and think you're interested, it's really worth getting some instruction from somebody who knows what they're doing. The tips that I got from Helen Wilson, from Dubside, James Mankey, who, interestingly, I kind of helped him get into Greenland rolling, and then he started teaching me more. I also followed Christopher Grovers and his Rolling with Sticks blog for a while, and that definitely, you know, I pick up tips there. And it's one of those things where, you know, you can kind of gradually build on things, but I think the most powerful thing is to have somebody who can see what you're doing point it out. You know, so I would say I made the most progress when I was able to attend those courses. And I guess when I brought Helen Wilson and Dubside to Victoria, it was somewhat selfish in that I wanted to learn myself. I generally got them to do a beginner session and then an intermediate advanced session. And the intermediate advanced session was mostly for me to and a few others who had made good progress.
Was that just for rolling classes that you brought them in, or was it a part of the
rolling classes?
Okay.
Yeah, it's really just rolling. I've done a lot of Greenland paddling clinics for CISCA over the years, where I just kind of introduce people to the paddle and get them to hold one and just paddle around with that as part of a kind of a forward stroke clinic, because that's really what most of us do most of the time. And I found that myself and one other paddler who's a Greenland paddler, we have no problems ever keeping up with the group because we have a Greenland paddle. If you learn how to use it properly, I think you can keep up with basically any other group of paddlers.
Are you still involved in CISCA?
Yep. I'm no longer on the executive, but I lead paddles. I'm actually probably helping to lead a paddle on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, so I've kind of pulled out of the board, so to speak, but I'm still an active paddle leader and occasionally an instructor.
Is sea kayaking as popular now as it has been in the past? Or, do you see more young people getting into sea kayaking now than compared to the past?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I would say that it's as popular as it's been for a couple of decades. CISCA has had, the last two or three years, has had a lot of members. You know, I think we started off with maybe only 100 members, and I think we're close to 400 now.
Wow.
So it's a pretty popular sport in Victoria for good reasons.
Yeah. Are there symposiums that happen on Vancouver Island?
There's the Pacific Paddling Symposium that happens at Pearson College. I'm trying to remember the last time that happened. I went to it once as an instructor, and then once again as a participant, and then I haven't been since. And I guess the other one that I've been to was the Styx Symposium. Mm-hmm. And that was a fun one to go to. It's been one of those things that, you know, I think COVID shut a lot of this stuff down, and hopefully that some of these will come back.
Yeah, I think the last Pacific Paddling Symposium was probably in 2019.
I have a feeling that would be right. Yeah, because it was in the summer. So summer of 2020 would have been shut down. And I suspect the same thing with Styx too. Mm-hmm. I think Styx was usually in June.
So what does it mean to be a naturalist?
Working as a naturalist is basically being a kind of a guide and leader, but also specializing in interpreting natural history. So plants, birds, insects, mammals, rocks, the sky, interpreting the world around you and making that part of the trip. And so I do that in both the Arctic and the Antarctic and the coast of British Columbia. And it's a lot of fun. And it's fun to share your kind of knowledge and expertise about the natural world with the guests who come on board. And it's actually that job that led me to go to Greenland the first time, which was very cool because we did one of the companies that I work for has trips that do the Canadian High Arctic, but they leave out of Kangerlussuaq in Greenland because that's the big airport that you can get 150 odd people to. And it was going to there that I actually got to see Greenland rolling and Greenland kayaks in Greenland, which was pretty cool, in both Sisimiut and Ilulissat. You see a lot of kayaks around town. When we were in Sisimiut, we actually had a local paddler do a demonstration for us of kayak rolling. And even though I wasn't able to do the rolling myself, I was able to explain to the guests who were on the ship what was happening and why this roll existed and why what he was doing and so on. So that was kind of fun. Also, because of my general interest in Greenland-style paddling, I was able to share the history and the nature of the Greenland competition and Greenland kayak building. So sharing the kind of the whole Greenland kayak experience, I guess. The paddling, the building, the rolling, harpoon throwing. Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun.
Did you get to travel much around Greenland?
Well, I've been to, obviously, Kangerlussuaq, several times to Ilulissat and Sisimiut. And I've been to a number of other places in Greenland along the coast, Kangemut, a bunch of places whose names I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But we went to quite a few places along the kind of the northwest coast of Greenland coming back from Canada.
Did you get to kayak around there at all?
No.
Oh.
No, sadly. But if I had a Greenland-style folding kayak, I'd be very tempted to bring it with me. But the problem is when you're working as a guide, there's really no time to do that kind of thing.
Okay.
you're pretty much on from when you wake up to when you go to bed.
What is Antarctica like?
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a different landscape. The amount of ice that's there, the mountains are covered in massive glaciers, and there's glaciers everywhere you look. The ice is beautiful. The wildlife is surprisingly abundant. Lots of penguins of different species. In the summertime down there, which is our wintertime, there's lots of whales, lots of seals and sea lions. And it's just an amazing place to visit.
That's a pretty amazing job to have, to be able to,
yeah,
to go on
those. It's a very nice, for me, a fantastic transition from teaching.
Yeah. How did you manage to get a position like that?
I've been working in the kind of guiding business part-time since, well, more than 40 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I've been doing that off and on since before I even started teaching.
You mean guiding in terms of sea kayaking?
No, guiding kind of nature tours.
Oh, really? Okay. What kind of tours did you give?
Mostly boat-based tours. Places like the Galapagos and, say, the Arctic and the Antarctic. And I have done land tours as well in Peru and East Africa. And
oh, wow.
Where else? Iceland. But I'm a big fan of the ocean, so I like trips that are based on boats and ships.
You're probably familiar then with this bear tour that I took out of Telegraph Cove.
I haven't actually done that bear tour, but I know of it.
Okay.
I know a couple of people who run those kinds of trips, and quite a few of them work down in Antarctica in the winter as well. So
yeah, the guy that I was with said that during the summer he does the grizzly bear tours, and in the winter he does polar bear tours
in Churchill, maybe, or
Manitoba.
Yeah, it would be Churchill. Yeah,
I was lucky to get on that tour because it was like last minute, and I didn't realize that these tours were booked like months in advance. And they just decide that they could fit in one more person.
Yep.
There's one guy from Germany on the tour who went every single year. Every single year he'd like fly to BC to
wow.
do this tour. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool area. I've done a lot of regular sea kayaking around there with the school groups. We'd usually go out there every June for 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm. So what are your impressions of the Disco Bay kayak? Also with Brian Schultz's F1 design.
So I originally wanted to build a skin-on-frame kayak, and I wanted to build a kayak that was both practical and a skin-on-frame, but also I wanted to build a traditional kayak. And so after a bit of back and forth with Brian, I ended up building both.
Okay.
The Disco Bay was, you know, a very traditional look, but really doesn't perform as well, in my view, as either my Tahes or the F1. The F1 is a great little kayak. It maneuvers really well. It tracks really well. It performs well in waves. And, you know, it's just a really good kayak. And yet it's made out of wood and nylon and weighs, what, 30 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
I found that the F1 was... It's probably my second favorite everyday kayak, just because if I'm going by myself, it's really easy to pick up and put on my shoulder and walk down to the beach and go paddling with it because it's so light.
That lightweight makes a huge difference
mm-hmm.
in just going out every single day.
Yep.
Was the Disco Bay intended to be more of a rolling kayak?
It's definitely rollable, but it wasn't as good for rolling as my Tahe was.
Oh, okay.
Especially the Tahe LC was just a fantastic rolling kayak. I feel that it's what enabled me to learn and perform as many of the rolls as I was able to do. I still pretty much got stumped by elbow rolls and a lot of the forward finishing rolls.
Mm-hmm. Do you still practice a lot of rolling?
I would say not as much as I did, but I do practice every now and again. I'll sometimes do a little pool clinic for the club.
Okay.
Especially in the summer when it's a bit warmer, when the water's a bit warmer, I'll go out with a friend and we'll do some rolls together. A big part of it is having the community of people who like to roll.
Is there interest on Vancouver Island in competition rolling and going to Greenland to?
I don't think there's a big, other than James Mankey, you must know of.
Yeah.
Because I think he won it that in 2011, didn't he? He won the rolling. He's still Vancouver Island based, but he's moved to Euclid now. In Victoria, there's not a big interest in that. I think if we invited, either Helen or Dubside or somebody else to come down and do some clinics, that might generate more interest. Though actually, I think we did have James come down and do a clinic here. I was away for it, so I don't know how that went. Dubside was coming to Pacific Paddling Symposium, and somehow he got his visa cut off, or I don't remember exactly what happened with that, but I remember he was coming to Victoria for one of those things, and
yes,
he got turned away.
I remember I heard that story. It was because once he got off the ferry, he said he was going to work at this symposium. Well, they asked him for, his work visa. Because he didn't have one, they wouldn't let him into the country. And so he just had to take the next ferry back.
Yeah.
But when I went, probably in the next year, I went with my lady friend, Katya, and we were invited to do the photography one year. They told me, don't tell anybody that you're working here.
Exactly.
So
it works both ways. I can't go to the States and work.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think I've covered pretty much most of my things that I was thinking of that relate to Greenland kayaking, and it has been a big part of my life. I would say there's one activity that I do more than anything else. It's kayaking, and pretty much every single paddle that I do, I use a Greenland paddle.
It's been a life changer for many of us. And we owe a lot to all the instructors and enthusiasts that have spread the word about Greenland style.
Absolutely. And, all the people who either put on the symposiums like Styx. Oh, I remember, was it Sherry Perry and Turner Wilson came to Victoria once to do a workshop as well.
Oh, wow.
So, there's been quite a few of what I call Greenland paddling key people have come to Victoria to do Greenland-related stuff.
Greenland style and Vancouver Island. You can't have a better combination than that.
No, it's a pretty nice combination.
All right. Mike, thanks so much for joining me today and for sharing your stories. Thanks for your efforts on spreading the word about Greenland style and educating paddlers about Greenland style.
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you and telling you a little bit about what's happening on Vancouver Island.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. In today's show notes, I've included a link to my video of Mike performing Greenland rolls on Quadra Island, and a link to Mike's book titled Galapagos, A Natural History, the Essential Guide to the Flora and Fauna of the Galapagos Islands. You can also follow Mike on his blog, where he keeps a journal of all of his trips, at mhjpaddling.blogspot.com.